Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books.
Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. It is book pick time, and every Tuesday on the show, we welcome back an independent bookseller. So if you have not had time to plan your summer reading or that moment when you can just grab a good book and get going, now is your chance. Emily Crow joins us to present a fine list of books that will have you turning those pages at a furious pace. Emily is from the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts, and it's a great pleasure to welcome her to the program once again. Hello.
Good morning, Joe. How
good
are you?
Good morning, good morning. I am doing fine. Excited to hear about this great list of books.
Super. Well, my theme for today is perfect summer reading for just about any type of reader.
All right.
I'm going to start with a book called The Land of Love and Drowning. It's a debut novel by Tiffany Yannick, and it's a multi-generational novel told in many different voices, and it can be described as a love story, a history lesson, and a magic tale set in the beautiful Caribbean landscape.
Nice.
It focuses on the life and times of two different families who are a little too closely related, if you know what I mean. And these families have to cope with abandonment, love, and fate. Their fates are tied with the fates of their homeland. The book opens in the early 1900s when the Virgin Islands are being transferred from Danish ownership to America. And these three children, Iona, Annette, and Jacob, they are two sisters and a half-brother, they must learn to find their place in the world when their father, who is a famous sea captain, dies. And we get sort of an insider-outsider perspective of Virgin Islanders compared to the United States during the World War II and the rising and tumultuous era of civil rights. And then that same insider-outsider status reflects these kids' life on St. Thomas when they lose their local standing after the death of their remaining parents. And I don't want to go too much more into the plot, because there are lots of spoilers at hand.
Twists and turns.
And some things that might be fairly shocking, but I'll mention that a novel like this would not be complete without its fair share of secrets. And it has heartbreak and struggle and folklore and a lot of taboo items as well. The islands of St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands and Anagata in the British Virgin Islands become characters in their own right. And this book is so completely atmospheric that as you're turning the pages, you'll swear you can smell the salty sea air and you can scent the frangipani on the breeze. It's completely transformative. It will transport you to another world, and that's what makes it a perfect summer read.
Land of Love and Drowning by Tiffany Yannick.
Yes.
All right.
And incidentally, we liked it so much, we picked it for our First Editions Club book, and
nice.
She's going to be at the Odyssey at the end of the month.
Wonderful.
Next, I'm going to go in a completely different direction. This is One Plus One by JoJo Moyes. Some readers or listeners might know her book, Me Before You, which was like the big tearjerker of last year. And this book is not quite as sad. You do not need an entire box of tissues at hand as you read this one. I'm really surprised how easily I get swept up into the drama of her characters, because I do not typically self-identify as a reader of romantic fiction. But this is a start and finish in one day kind of read, and it has all the right elements to be very satisfying. You've got your underdogs. There's a very geeky young girl who happens to be a genius at math, and she has a half-brother, older half-brother, who is an outside teenage boy. He likes to wear mascara. He shows his sensitive side. As you can imagine, there are bullies galore who target both of them. There's a man and a woman from opposite sides of the economic spectrum, and a slobbery black dog of dubious origin, and then a good Samaritan gesture that changes all of their lives. One night, Ed is driving home and he sees a woman stranded on the side of the road with her two kids. And it turns out to be his housemaid, Jess. And without stopping to think about it, he offers them a ride. The catch? Well, no big deal. They're just on their way to Scotland. Not like they're trying to get to the next town over. And the little girl is about to compete in a big deal math tournament to win some scholarship money. But before Ed can change his mind about the offer of a ride, they all pile into his car and off they go. And that would all be fine, obviously, except Tansy gets car sick if they go more than 40 miles per hour. So what would have been maybe a 5-hour highway ride turns into a 3-day back road disaster on wheels. In other words, it's a situation where you get both high drama and low comedy, and she makes great use for both. And as the saying goes, I laughed and I cried, and I was really happy to go along for the ride. It's engaging, and there are tender and funny moments, and it's tumbled together in one book that will read lickety-split, and that's why it's perfect for summer reading.
1+1 by JoJo Moyes.
Okay, another direction now is a book of short stories, Invisible Loves by Eric Emmanuel Schmidt. He is a Belgian writer. He writes in French, and this has been translated. And I'm not usually one for issuing blanket statements, but after reading this book and his previous collections of short stories that have been translated, I think he is absolutely the finest short story writer of our time.
Wow.
This is his third collection. It's his most personal, and it's kind of hard to review story collections other than saying they have overarching themes. So I'm just going to talk about two different stories in the collection.
All right.
One of them is called The Dog, and the author explores how a daughter comes to really know her father only after his suicide. He kills himself within a week after losing his beloved Alsatian to a hit-and-run accident. And through various means, the daughter learns her father's true history of being a Holocaust survivor. And it's the story of how one dog teaches her father the lesson of redemption for humanity. No big deal, right?
Right. Yeah. Just
yeah, I mean, you know.
That old tale.
Just that thing. And then another story is called Two Gentlemen from Brussels, and it traces the history of two different couples.
Yeah.
One is a young man and woman who are married in their youth in a very grand cathedral ceremony. And the other couple is a pair of young men. They're hiding in the shadows of the same cathedral during that ceremony. And they're whispering their vows to each other as the officially sanctioned marriage takes place. And we follow the rise and fall, the whole trajectory of both couples' love and worldly success. And the male couple end up sort of zeroing in on the offspring of the other young couple, taking an interest in that child as if it were their own, and it's how the rest of their lives intersect at odd moments.
Invisible Loves by Eric Emmanuel Schmidt.
Okay. Let's go for a completely different pace and say Lexicon by Max Berry.
Okay.
I don't have a copy here to show
you.
That's all right. This book is relatively new in paperback. I read it last week on vacation, and the book opens up in the middle of action. It opens in an airport bathroom, and two men have wrestled Will Park to the floor, and they have just slid a needle into his eyeball. Yeah, I mean, definitely going to grab your attention
all right.
there. Yeah. And all the while they're muttering.
You can go, ew.
Yeah, just a little bit. A little cringeworthy. And the whole time they're muttering about a secret war and poets and imminent doom, and Will has no idea what they are talking about. And in a separate narrative, there's a young runaway turned hustler named Emily, and she is recruited to a prestigious school where students are taught how to use words to persuade, but not just persuade, but to control other people. And surprise, these two plot lines eventually find their way into each other. And in other words, this is a world where words not just have meaning, but they have power. And if you can wield words to manipulate the world, then you are a poet. And I just love it that in this world, it's the poets who are, you know,
yes.
the superpowers.
As it should be.
Exactly. Yeah. They're like a team of special elite, special ops.
Right.
And it's kind of like X-Men meets Inception, but in a world where language is what is important. And it's fast-paced and page-turning. And I think if you liked Mr. Penumbra's 24-hour bookstore or Ready Player One, then this is a really good book to turn to.
Excellent.
Bam, summer read.
Okay.
Okay.
Lexicon by Max Berry.
Next is A Marker to Measure Drift by Alexander Maksik. This book was also recently published in paperback, and I hope that it will now find the audience that I think it deserves. It was published in hardcover last year, and it was definitely one of the best books that I read, and it got all kinds of great critical reviews. I didn't actually sell that many books. Maybe because...
Oh, that.
I know. It's the sad story. But we begin with a young woman named Jacqueline, and we don't know much about her at the beginning, other than she's homeless on an island in the Mediterranean. And eventually, as she deals with everyday survival issues like finding water or food or shelter, we learn a little bit more about her. She's not just homeless, she's a refugee. And as the book unfolds, the reader gets an intimate portrait of both Jacqueline and the island. And we begin to fill in the gaps of her memory as she starts to confront the various horrors that led to her exile. The beauty of this Mediterranean setting is in direct counterpoint to the horrors in her mind. And I'm not sure that I've seen a person's descent into madness handled so well as Max gets this one. We're really walking the line between memory and madness, and like Jacqueline, we're never sure which is real and which isn't. And in the end, we get a really nuanced portrait of trauma, but also the resilience of the human spirit.
The book is Marker to Measure Drift.
Yes. And just one thing to add, each year my husband and I give each other a book for Christmas that was important to us to read. This is the book I gave him this year.
Oh, that's sweet.
He read the book last year and he really wasn't able to have conversation for the rest of the day after he finished it. Not just because he was reading, but after he finished it, he was so drawn up in this world and so moved by it. He just was just
lovely.
No good.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I mean, not that it was no good, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
Right.
It was a lovely moment.
It was a lovely moment. So that's just speaking to the power of that particular book.
We have about 2 minutes left.
Okay. I want to briefly talk about a children's picture book. These are generally hard to talk about on the air, but this is Ninja Red Riding Hood. And it is funny. It's the traditional Red Riding Hood story.
Ninja Red Riding Hood.
It's written in verse, and Little Red is coming to visit grandmother. But the thing is, both the wolf and Little Red have a secret. So, you know, he jumped out of bed to gobble up Red, but she had gone to ninja school, too.
Uh-oh.
She grappled and sideswiped and twisted and escaped from his clutches unscratched. She attempted a lock, but he managed to block. They appeared to be evenly matched. And it goes on, and they don't know what to do. It ends up in a draw. Grandmother shows up. She is a Zen Buddhist monk. She gets the wolf to enroll in yoga class, and he becomes a vegetarian.
I love this book.
It's really fun, and it's great read aloud because of the rhyme scheme and the rhythm.
That is hilarious. It's Ninja Red Riding Hood by Corey Rosen Schwartz. It's illustrated by Dan Sentat.
We'll go with that.
Okay. We've got about a minute left. You want to tell us what's happening at the bookstore?
Well, I would love to talk to you about Deborah Harkness. I know you'll be talking with her later.
She'll be on the show in about 10 minutes.
But her book, The Book of Life, goes on sale today. It's the third book of the All Souls trilogy, and I just started reading it this morning, technically listening to it. I am on disc two from my drive over here today. It is so much fun. You've got vampires and witches and demons, and you've got these winged beasts of fire that aren't quite dragons, and I'm not sure why. And it is exciting and historical and full of detail, and we happen to be hosting her tomorrow night. We've got some tickets still on sale.
She'll return to her alma mater of Mount Holyoke, and that is very exciting.
So, yes.
You know, I have to say, when the first book in the series came out, I was skeptical, and because they were billing it as an adult Twilight, Harry Potter kind of thing, and I was like, hey, I'm sick of this whole. And then I read it. And I fell in love with her. I fell in love with the writing. She's so smart and so just amazing in her writing. And you'll love this book.
She's really great.
And she's lovely. Absolutely. So she'll be on the show in a few minutes. And if you want to see her and get the new book, the book's out today. She'll be at Odyssey tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Mount Holyoke, right?
That's right.
Right across the street.
So, right across the street.
You can find out more information by going to odysseybks.com. Odysseybks.com. Better yet, go visit them. 9 College Street in South Hadley. 9 College Street in South Hadley. As I mentioned, we're broadcasting live from Amherst on Friday, so I can't wait. I get to go over and get my Odyssey fix. 9 College Street in South Hadley, or go to odysseybks.com. Emily Crow, you're the best. Thank you so much for being with us.
Joe, you're the best.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.